You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Good morning, New Point. How's everyone doing? You doing all right? All right. Well, we're glad that you're here, and I just want to echo what John said. Next week, we're going to kick off this series called Trust Issues. It's an incredible invest and invite. You know, don't come by yourself, okay? Don't come by yourself. Invite a friend. Get them to come here. We're going to talk about something, I promise you, that will be relevant in their life, and God will use it to be able to draw them to Him. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. Well, this morning, we want to talk about something very specific, and I've entitled this The Linchpin, because I believe it is the linchpin of life. It's the linchpin of life. And a linchpin is what brings things together. It's what holds things together. And it's prayer. Prayer is the linchpin of our lives. And maybe you don't understand prayer very much. Maybe it kind of intimidates you. Maybe you're not for sure what it's all about. And what we want to do today is we want to be able to address it, because prayer is the linchpin. And what happens is it's the linchpin to peace, to joy, to contentment, to strength, to power, to perspective. All of those things that you and I desperately want and need in our life, the linchpin to all of that is prayer. It's prayer. And so when I'm missing out on peace and joy and maybe contentment or perspective or power or strength, I need to come back and I need to ask myself about the linchpin in my life, because we all have a linchpin. It just might not be prayer. And I'm telling you, prayer is the key to your life, and it's the key to my life. So let's talk about that this morning, and you can follow along in your note-taking guide there. It's in your weekly as well. But here's the question that we want to answer this morning. What is prayer? What is prayer? Because we all have different ideas about what prayer is. We have a tendency to think that it's some kind of ritual, it's some kind of religious words, it's some kind of formula. And what I would say is this: prayer is basically communicating with God. Nothing more, nothing less. It's talking and listening to God. And the reason why prayer is talking and listening to God is because we come into a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship. And as you know, in the relationships that you have and you're experiencing right now, most of your relationships, I might even go so far to say as this, all of your relationships rise on communication. They rise or fall on communication. Now, I don't do much counseling. I'm not a very good counselor. But when I have counseled couples and they just say, you know, I'm not for sure what's happening in our marriage. It just seems like we've drifted apart. I guarantee it goes back to this. You've lacked the ability to communicate with one another. You've just stopped communicating. You stopped talking and you've stopped listening. When a parent struggles with their relationship with their son or their daughter, or maybe a son or a daughter struggles with their relationship with their mom or dad, I promise you, they've stopped talking and they've stopped listening. And so that relationship begins to be undermined, and it begins to fall apart. And so it is with our relationship with God. And God has given you and I this incredible privilege to be able to talk to Him, to be able to communicate to Him. And here's what I want us to understand, okay? Because it is a part of relationship, prayer involves dialogue, not merely a monologue, okay? While God wants us to talk to Him about our problems and our plans and our concerns, He wants that, okay? There are also times when we should be silent before Him so that we can be sensitive and receptive to His desires and direction. And so prayer is not reciting just some formula. It's not saying magical words. It's literally a conversation between you and God. We're going to learn that it's your Heavenly Father. It's my Heavenly Father. And so prayer is talking and listening. It's communicating with God. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, why should we pray? Why should we pray? Okay, why should we take time out of our schedule? Why should we carve time out of our schedule to be able to talk to God, to be able to pray to God? Well, Jesus answers that question because it's one of the questions that the disciples asked of him. Think of this. If you could ask Jesus any question, okay, what question would you ask him? The disciples had that opportunity. And you know what they asked him? Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. You see, they observed his life. They hung out with him for 3 years, and they found out that there was something about his prayer life. You know, they would be together, and Jesus would, I don't know if he would sneak off, but he would just kind of leave them, and he would go to a hill or a mountain or some secluded place, and he would get alone with God. And no one had more pressure, no one had more people pulling at him than Jesus. No one was more misunderstood than Jesus. I mean, he had it to the max. And they observed his life, and they basically had to be thinking, how do you hold it all together? What's your linchpin? How do you keep things together when everybody's pulling at you and this is happening and that is happening? And they figured it out. It was his communication with his Heavenly Father. And so Jesus was teaching. It's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and I encourage you to read it sometime. And he's basically telling them how to do life. You want to know how to do life? Here's how you do life. If you want to do it well, here's how you do it. And here's how you relate to people. And in the midst of teaching them how to do life, he basically says, and this is the linchpin. This is what's going to hold it all together. This is what's going to enable you to do what I'm asking you to do. Because what we have to understand, and Jesus was an unbelievable teacher, Jesus never asked people to do something without showing them how to do it. See, if I would stand up here and I would tell you, you ought to pray. You just ought to pray more. You ought to pray more. You could leave here feeling guilty and condemned because you're saying, Dwight, I don't even know how to pray. No one's ever taught me how to pray. And so what happens is we don't want to just say, this is something you need to do. We want to be able to say, this is something that you need to do, and here's how you do it. And that's Jesus' form of teaching. And so he begins with this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Basically, what he is saying is, make sure that your public prayers are not longer than your private prayers. Y'all right on that one? You know, you're around the table and you're praying for dinner and goes on and on and on and on. You say, hey, save that for your private time, please, okay? That's basically what he's saying. Don't be doing a stage show for people, because if you do that, truly I tell you, they have received their what? Their reward. And so he basically is saying that you and I, when we pray, it needs to be longer together. When I talk with my wife, it needs to be longer at home than it is here in the hallway of the church. Okay? And so here's the first thing. God expects you to pray. He says, and when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. And just like in any great relationship, okay, we have to communicate. And God says, you've entered this relationship with me. You've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. Now you're in this relationship. Don't ignore me. Don't be standoffish. Okay, talk to me. Now that we're married, you used to talk to me all the time when we were dating. We'd sit across at Burger King, buy a pop, and we'd just look at each other and just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Now that we're married, I can't get you to talk. Y'all right on that one? See, that's what he's talking about here. He expects us to talk. Man, if you're in relationship with somebody, with marriage, or maybe you have a son or a daughter, a mom and dad, you got to expect to communicate, because reliable communication allows us to make progress. Without communication, you can't make progress. And so God expects it. Jesus reiterated this in one of his parables in Luke 18, 1. Here's what it says. And now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times, they ought to communicate with God. They ought to what? Pray and not lose heart. You see, if you're married here and you're struggling, listen, if you will talk and listen, don't lose heart. Because there's always what? There's always hope for a relationship that is communicating with one another. When the relationship goes south and somebody draws a line in the sand and says no more, basically what you've done is you shut down the communication. And so what Jesus is saying here is, as long as you're talking to me and we're talking and you're talking and listening to me, then do not lose what? Heart, because we're in relationship and something can happen and something can change. And so it is with our kids. As long as you're communicating with your kids, there's hope. Don't lose heart. Where you lose heart is, they won't talk to me anymore. Probably because you're not listening very well. You're doing all the talking. But when you're talking and listening with your son and daughter, there's no reason to lose heart, because there's hope. And so that's what Jesus was saying. As long as we're in communication with God, as long as we're talking and listening to him, do not lose heart. So the first thing that God expects of us is that he expects us to pray. Be in communication with him. He goes on to say this, but when you pray, again, he's referring to the fact that we're going to pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Wow, that takes what? Faith. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Will reward you. Now, he says a couple of things here, okay? He says, pray to your Father. Now, when he said this in the Sermon on the Mount, it blew their minds, because they just referred to God as God. And he's saying, no, wait, time out. You're in a relationship now. He's not just God. He is your Father. For some of us, we struggle with that. You know why? Because we struggle with our earthly father. And there's some of us here today, you've rejected your Father, so you've rejected his God. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you that you need to see him as your heavenly Father. Maybe the Father that you never had, because you had an inconsistent Father. You had a father who was aloof and indifferent towards you. And Jesus is saying, I'm talking about a heavenly Father who is perfect in all of his ways. He is consistent. He is close. He is competent. He is caring. And so he says this. He says, who sees what is done in secret and will what? Will reward you. So what does God expect? Well, he expects us to pray. And when we pray, God rewards it. God says, I will reward you. I will reward you if you will communicate with me, if you will pray, if you will talk and listen to me. It's one of the things that I always did with our kids. If I would ask them to go with me somewhere, I always rewarded them with an ice cream cone or something. And they would say, I didn't know this was going to be involved. Well, no, you never know what's going to be involved if you go with me. But I promise you it'll always be good. And so what God is saying is, if you will talk with me, if you will listen to me, I will reward you. What will he reward us with? Peace, joy, contentment, power, strength. All of those things that you and I long for to be able to do life well. And so why should we pray? God expects it. We're in relationship with him. Secondly, God rewards it. So he continues to go on as he's teaching on prayer, and he says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, Now he's telling something about this Father that we're to pray to. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Wow. He says, you don't need to babble. You don't need to go on and on and on and on. Your Father is so unbelievable. He's so great, as we're going to learn here in a moment, that he already knows what you need. And he's willing to give it to you and me. And so why should we pray? God expects it, and God rewards it, and because he already knows what you and I need. Now, you might say, well, why doesn't he just give it to us? Because he wants to be in relationship with us. He wants you to communicate with him, and he wants to communicate with you. And so Jesus is telling them the importance of prayer, that he expects it and he will reward it. And then he tells us how to pray. He says, this then is how you should pray. I know what you've seen. You've been to the synagogue. You've heard people babble. You've heard people pull out their cards and read them like this as a ritual. I'm going to really teach you how to pray. And so here's what he says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the first thing that he's teaching them. Our Father, you have a Father, you have a relationship with a heavenly Father now who's in heaven. He's unseen, but he's in heaven. And I want you to hallow his name. And so he's teaching them how to pray. And here's the first thing that we need to learn about praying, how to pray. We need to declare God's greatness. Okay? We need to declare God's greatness. He says, hallowed be thy name. Now, when Moses asked God, who should I tell them sent me? He said, tell them I am. And what does that mean? I am whatever you need. I'm that great. There's no one word that is all-encompassing that can describe who I am. I'm that great. I'm that awesome. I'm unbelievable. And so when he says here, hallowed be thy name, he's talking about all the names that represent who God is to us, because there's not one word that is sufficient to describe who God is. And so he says, hallowed be thy name. He says, what I want you to do when you begin to pray to God, I want you to declare his greatness. I want you just to pause. And I want you to declare his greatness, because you need to understand who you're talking to. You need to understand who's talking to you. Because if you don't get this right, then what happens is everything else will fall apart. Have you ever met somebody or been introduced to somebody and later you found out who they really were? And you said to yourself, shoot, if I would have known that was who it was, I would have asked for, but you didn't know who they were. And so it limited you in your conversation with them. And what Jesus is saying is you need to fully understand and be aware who you're talking to. You're talking to your heavenly Father, and you need to declare his greatness. Now, there's two ways in which we declare his greatness. The first one is through adoration. That's praising God for who he is. That's praising God for who he is. And there's three things that I want to give you that helps us to understand God's greatness. There's many, many more, but I just want to give us three. The first one is this. God is all-powerful. The theological word is omnipotent, okay? Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. That means that there's nothing too hard or nothing too difficult for him. So when you come and you pray to God, you don't have to be wringing your hands. Oh, I don't know if he can do this. I don't know if he has the resources. I don't know if he has the power. I don't know if he has the ability. No, what happens is he is all powerful. There's nothing that you and I are going to talk to God about that he doesn't have the power to be able to do. So you need to get that in your mind. I need to get that in my mind. Here's what Job would say. I know that you can do all things, not some things, all things. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Wow. What would happen to you and what would happen to me if that really hit your heart and my heart? That God is all powerful, that he can do whatever he wants to do. It'd change how we talk to him. We talk to him. And Job is saying, I know you can do all things, and I know no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That ultimately, when it's all said and done, God, you're going to have your way. He's all-powerful. Here's another one, that God is all-knowing. Omniscient is the theological word. He's all-knowing. That means that he knows everything. He knows what you had for breakfast this morning. Okay? He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the sparrow that falls to the ground. He knows your fear. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you and me. He's all-knowing. Proverbs would tell us this. The eyes of the Lord are where? Everywhere. Keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Patty and I, we just dropped off Benjamin at college last weekend. And one of the comforting things for us is to know that God is with him. We're not with him anymore. We can't go with him. We can't be with him. But we know that God is there. Because God is everywhere, and that God is watching over him. It brings great comfort, great peace. You say, are you worried about him? No, he's got a heavenly Father who loves him more than I love him, and who is all-powerful and all-knowing. And that's what the proverb writer is saying. And then third, he is ever-present. He is ever-present, omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he's with Ben, and he's with me. He's with Ben, and he's with Patty. And here's what Scripture has to say in Jeremiah. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. And so here's what you need to understand. The first thing that we need to do, if we're going to pray the way in which Jesus taught us to pray, is you need to declare God's greatness. And here's what I'm saying. Don't move on until you have a grasp on how great your heavenly Father is. See, these are the attributes of God. These are things that describe God. And it means this, okay? Here's what it means. That means that he is ignorant of nothing. He knows everything. God, do you know what these people are doing to me? Oh, yeah, I know. I've been watching. I'm all knowing. Unlimited in power and not bound by time or space. Wow. And what happens is you need to stay put until you understand how great your heavenly Father is. Many times we move too quick and too fast. Hello, God. Oh, by the way, let me tell you what's going on in my life. And what I'm saying is you declare God's greatness and you hit the pause button. You say, how long do I stay there? I don't know. It could be 3 minutes, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, it could be a half an hour, until you understand how great the one in whom you are talking to is. And so what happens is you have adoration, you praise God for who he is, and secondly, you give thanks, thanksgiving. That's another way in which you declare the greatness of God. You praise God for what he has done. You see, God has brought me through an issue of cancer. You know about that. God's brought me through 5 bypasses. And I need to pause and I need to remind myself of what God has already done in my life. My mom, okay, when she was carrying me, she started bleeding in about the 7th month, and the doctor asked her, do you want to save this child? She said, absolutely, do everything possible to save this child. You don't think I have purpose in my life? I remind myself of all of that, because what happens is if I just go by what I see in my life, then I will determine my God by my circumstances instead of determine my God by his faithfulness of what he's already done in my life. God wouldn't have to do another thing in my life for me to have faith in him. He's already done much, 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 much more than what I ever thought or expected. And what happens is sometimes we get amnesia. We forget what God has already done. Most of us in this room, we should have already had your funeral. But because of the grace of God, you're still alive. You're like me. You all right on that one? See, you need to think about stuff like that. Because what happens is many times we don't thank God for what he's done. We criticize him for what he's not doing in our mind. And so what happens is we limit him, we shrink him. And so what you need to do, what I need to do, is I need to declare God's greatness. God, you're great, you're all powerful, you're all knowing, you're ever present. I thank you for what you've done in my life, because I would be dead if it were not for you.
And so the first thing Jesus says is declare his greatness. He goes on to say this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then he gives us the next key in how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. Here's the next step when we pray. You want to know how to pray like Jesus prayed? You want it to be the linchpin of your life that connects everything together, that brings stability and strength in your life despite what you're going through? The first thing is you declare God's greatness. The second thing is you surrender your will to God. Now listen to me. You will not surrender your will to God unless you understand how great God is. That he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. And so what happens is you declare God's greatness and you stay there however long you have to stay there so that you can come to a place of where you surrender your will to God. And you can say, God, you know what? I'm asking for a few things. But you know what? I surrender my will to you because I know you're all powerful. I know that you're all knowing, and I know that you're ever present. And I know your greatness. Now, Jesus had to wrestle with this because even Jesus himself, in his prayer, in his conversation with God, you remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, not my will, but your will be done. He said, if it be possible, I'd like not to have to do this. If it be possible, if there's another way, I don't want to go to the cross. But I know your greatness. I know that you can bring good out of that which is bad. And so I'm surrendering my will to you. Not my will, but your will be done. And the reason why you struggle with surrendering your will to God is you don't know God's greatness. I tell my kids this all the time. The day that you are convinced that God is smarter and wiser than you is the day that you're going to be able to experience life and life to the fullest. You see, the fact of the matter, can I have your attention here just for a second? There's some of us in this room that think we're wiser than God. Oh, but God, you don't understand my situation. You don't realize how painful this is. You don't realize how difficult this is. And what happens is you just don't understand God's greatness. And so you have a hard time surrendering your will to God. And so what we need to do is we need to be able to surrender our will to God. We need to be able to say, God, I surrender my family to you. God, I surrender my finances to you. God, I surrender my health to you. God, I surrender my career to you. God, I surrender my relationships with you. God, I surrender my kids to you. God, I surrender everything to you. Because I know you're great. I know you're all powerful. I know you're all knowing. I know that you're ever present. I know that you know what we need before we even ask. And so you want to declare God's greatness. And what happens is you stay there long enough until you can come to a point in your life where you surrender your will to God, knowing that he knows what is best. And then Jesus continues this teaching on prayer and he says, and give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. Here's what he's saying. Declare God's greatness. Surrender your will to him. And then acknowledge your dependence on God. Acknowledge your dependence on God. See, this is called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not so much something you and I should recite. Y'all right on that one? Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, they sing it at weddings. What this is a model. This is a template to teach you and I how to ultimately pray. It's okay if you recite it, okay? But it's much, much broader and deeper than that. This is to teach you and I how to connect with God. And so you declare God's greatness, you surrender to his will, and you acknowledge your dependency upon him. And we acknowledge it in three different areas. The first one is with provision. Provision. What does he say here? He says, give us today our daily bread. And you're acknowledging, God, you know what? I need your provision in my life. I have this need. I have this want. I even have this desire. And what happens is, God, I need you to work. I'm asking you to work. I acknowledge that I can't pull this off on my own. And so what happens is you acknowledge your dependency upon God in the area of provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't say give us this month. Why? Because he wants you and I talking to him every day. Y'all all right? Every single day. He wants us to do that. And then he goes on and he says this. We need to acknowledge our dependency on him for pardon. To pardon us of our sins. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I need to acknowledge my dependency that I can't make myself right with God. That I can't forgive one of my sins. The only one who can forgive my sins is God through the person of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and maybe you've never acknowledged your dependency on God to pardon you, to declare over your life and my life not guilty. Today you can. You can pray a simple yet life-transforming prayer and just say, God, I acknowledge my dependency upon you to be forgiven. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Remove them as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? When you do that, what happens is he will forgive you of every one of your sins. And you know what that enables you to do? Forgive other people. You see, the reason why we have a hard time forgiving other people is because we don't feel forgiven. You show me any person who feels forgiven, and I'll show you a person who will forgive other people. You show me a person who struggles with forgiving other people, and I'll show you a person who doesn't feel fully forgiven. Because when I look at my life, of all the things that I have done, I've done more harm and more pain to God than anyone has ever done to me. And I will need more forgiveness in the future from God than anyone will need it from me. Y'all right on that one? See, if you don't believe that, you don't have an accurate view of God. And so what enables me to forgive other people, and I forgive other people every day. Matter of fact, I get up in the morning, I say, God, I forgive people who are talking about me. Because they're talking about me. And they're talking about you too, okay? All right? They're talking about you too. I'm not the only one being talked about. And so what happens is I just acknowledge that I need pardon from God and I need his dependent. I need to be dependent upon him to pardon other people because my natural tendency is not to pardon people. My natural tendency is to get even with people, which wrecks my life and robs me of what? Peace and joy and contentment and all of that. And so I need to be able to acknowledge my dependency to forgive other people. And then this final one is this, protection. Protection. I acknowledge God's dependency, my dependency upon God for protection. Look what it says here. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know what that means? If you're a teenager here today, let me tell you what it means. Okay? Friday night at a ball game. Bunch of guys say, hey, come on, let's go. We're all going to get in the car and we're going to go. And something hits you and says, don't you dare get in that car. That's God leading you not into temptation because he knows that that car will take you someplace you shouldn't go. Ladies, do I have all the ladies' attention? I know he's good looking and he dresses phenomenally, okay? But something clicks inside of you and says, you know what? You better stay away from that boy. I know he goes to church. He may even carry a Bible. But you know what? You better stay away from him. Here's what God is doing. He's leading you not into temptation. Y'all right on that one? He's delivering you from evil. And it's the same, hey, I know if you move, I know if you relocate, you know, they're going to bump your salary by $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, but you're going to have to uproot your family. And there's something inside of you that's saying, man, this looks great on paper. This is incredible. This is phenomenal. And yet there's something inside of you that's saying, no, you need to stay put for the sake of your family. Lead me not into temptation because the money is an unbelievable temptation. Honey, we can always get the house that we've always had, but you may lose your home. Hello? Hello? You see, so what happens is I have to pray. You know what? You're getting too close to that person at work. You know it. And God's already warned you about it. He's leading you not into temptation because the evil one wants to take you down that path to destroy your marriage and destroy your family. And so what happens is you're acknowledging your dependency upon God. God, I need protection. I do stupid stuff, God. I'm a knucklehead sometimes. Anybody out there with me? Huh? I need help. And so I'm depending upon you to protect me. So warn me before I even get there, because once I get involved there, you know what? I don't have the discipline. I don't have the willpower to say no. And so Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And he's saying you need to declare God's greatness and stay there until you understand who you're praying to, that he is great, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's ever-present. And then surrender your will to him. Know that he knows what is best and that he will not give you anything that's not good for you. And then acknowledge your dependency. God, I need provision today. I need pardon today. I need protection. And when you do that, what happens is, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. So here's what I'm asking of us. I'm looking for 300 people who will commit with me to pray. Okay? You've got this in your little weekly. Who will pray? I'm calling us to 21 days of fasting and prayer. And you can read more about that. But I'm looking for that. And here's what I'm asking. I'm asking all of us, though, to do this, okay? I'm asking you for the next 21 days that you will pray 15 minutes a day. That what happens is you'll go and read the daily, okay, that you can download from our website, and that you will sit in a secret place where nobody can bother you or distract you. It may be in the family room, it may be in the basement, it may be in your pickup truck. I don't know where it's going to be. But somewhere where it's just you and God. And you sit there and you say, God, I want your presence in my life. God, I want your power in my life. God, I want to live your purpose. And what happens is 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, and you declare his greatness, you surrender to his will, and you acknowledge your dependency upon him. And here's what I promise you. Listen, I promise you, if you'll do that 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, you'll be a different husband. You'll be a different father. You'll be a different man. You'll be a different woman. You'll be a different wife. You'll be more gentle and less critical. You'll be a different mother. I promise you. Just being in the presence of God for 15 minutes a day. Just do that. 15 minutes a day. After the 21 days, if you're still the old grumpy guy that you are, then quit it. Okay? Just quit it. It doesn't work then. But I'm telling you, 15 minutes a day, and it will transform your life. That's why it's so hard. You're so busy, but you know what? Your life is so messed up. And I'm calling you just to spend 15 minutes. Who would you die for to have 15 minutes with? Oh, if I could just meet the CEO of our company. If I could, God knows him. See, listen, when you know the keeper of the keys, you don't need to know key people. Write that down. That was good. All right? You just, listen, I'm telling you, you just need, listen, your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. He knows who you need to hook up with. He knows who you need to meet. He knows all of that. And we waste our time doing all this stuff. This is why we're so busy. And if we would just carve 15 minutes out and just say, God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to be dependent upon you to let me meet the right people at the right time for the right reason, I'm telling you, it'll blow you away. And I wish I could convince you. Listen, I would be in a psychiatrist's chair today if it were not for prayer. Jesus says this to us. He says, cast all of your care upon me because I care for you. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you burned out on religion? He says, come to me. Come to me, man. I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful. I'm ever-present. And I only want to give you that which is good. And so I want us to experience it just for a moment, okay? Can I have just a few more minutes? Bow your heads with me, all right? Here's what I want you to do, all right? I want you to declare God's greatness right now. Just say, God, I thank you that you're all-powerful. God, I thank you that you're all-knowing, and I thank you that you're all-present, that you're ever-present. Just do that right now. Just say that to him, from your heart to his heart. Now that you've declared his greatness, I want you to surrender your will to him. And just say, God, I surrender my will to you. I surrender my family, my finances, my health, everything about me, I surrender and I give it to you because you're a good father. You're a great God. Now, acknowledge your dependency upon God. Just say, God, I can't do life. I can't do marriage. I can't do parenting. I can't do work. I can't do any of this stuff without you. And I acknowledge my dependency upon you for provision, for pardon, and for protection. God, we thank you that you've taught us how to communicate with you. Even though you're unseen, you tell us that if we will just carve some time out to talk and to listen with you, that you will reward us in incredible, unbelievable ways. And it'll be with things that money can't buy, like peace and joy and contentment and power and purpose and strength. And yet you're interested in the things that money can buy. But you want to give us those precious ones as well. And so I pray for myself and I pray for my friends today here that we will take what Jesus has said and we will apply it and implement it in our life. And we know we'll never be the same. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.